Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Good morning. I hope everybody's having a great day. Listen, this week, a beloved person in our music industry, Neil Diamond, announced that he's stopping his tours in his Las Vegas show because of Parkinson's disease. It just so happens that I'm going to be teaching classes for caregivers at University of Colorado Hospital starting in February with the Movements Disorders Clinic. So I thought today would be a great day to talk about understanding the difference between Parkinson's disease and maybe Alzheimer's. But I just really want to concentrate on Parkinson's disease today. So what is Parkinson's disease? When he announced this, I'm sure it made everybody sad. We know about Michael J. Fox. We know about different people that have had this disease. But what is it? So what it is that the movement and coordination in your body are controlled by a chemical in your brain called dopamine. And the brain chemical that's used to send messages to your muscles to make them move properly, Parkinson's disease is a disruption in that process. So dopamine producing nerve cells get damaged gradually over time. And that loss of dopamine causes a variety of movement problems. So what happens is the motor skills of the person are affected pretty much first. And so that's really a tough thing. So what is that dopamine? It's a neurotransmitter. And like I said, it helps send those chemical, it's a chemical messenger that helps control your balance, your movement, your walking. And the lack of that dopamine in your body is the cause of most of the Parkinson's disease symptoms. You know, so your walking and your balance and things like that. So where is it located? Well, it's located deep, deep, deep in the brain and with something called the basal ganglia. I know that's kind of tough, but most of the symptoms are caused by the loss or damage of the neurons in this region of your brain, and it's deep in there. And so what happens is, and you've heard me say before that Lewy body is a little bit connected to Parkinson's disease. We now know that. Our friends Dr. Benzie Kluger and Luis Medina have come on the show to talk about that before. So the Lewy body protein starts to invade that dopamine area in the basal ganglia, and it really causes your motor skills to freeze. It causes them to not move as easily, and we start noticing these symptoms and the progression really at about age 60. So it might surprise people to know that a little over 1.5 million people in the United States, at least, have Parkinson's disease. And it's strange, but it hits people around the age of 60 years old. There's only 15% that have this disease around the age 40 or less. So it can hit at about age 40. We know a lot of people like Davis Finney, the Tour de France bike rider, the bicycle rider. He was also in the Olympics. He's been a powerful spokesperson for this disease. He realized he was having symptoms at about age 42. And so he's brought a lot of things to light. But anyway, so it really is a disease that is not necessarily considered a memory loss issue. And I'm going to get into that here today in our half hour that we're talking. But it is a dementia, meaning that there's cognitive impairment in your body. There's slowness in thinking, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have memory loss. Okay, so we'll just kind of start with that and go with that. So what are those symptoms? We notice the Parkinson's usually early on when somebody has what they call bradykinesia, where their arm is at rest. And when it's just sitting on their lap or on a chair arm or something like that, it will start to shake or tremor. Okay, and they notice that unrest in that limb, maybe even their legs. Their body starts to just jump a little bit when they're sitting. We notice that a lot of times as restless leg syndrome. So that can be kind of tough. They also notice stiffness and cramping and issues with their impaired gait when they're walking. It's just not as smooth as it would be. A lot of people notice that they have an arm swinging more or less than the other one when they're moving around. The changes in their facial expressions and things like that, they become more mask-like in their expressions. They have a lot of problems with their balance, which becomes an issue of falling, and those balance issues can be a big deal where you might need some adjustments to your homes and things like that. They have a lot of other bodily changes where, contrary to belief, and I wanted to talk about some fallacies today, people with Parkinson's don't all have tremors. So there again, we have a lot of things with Alzheimer's that we can point out that are not true, like hallucinations, where people with Parkinson's disease might have hallucinations. They do have disrupted sleep. But the biggest issues they have really are constipation. Their bowels get really backed up and it's super uncomfortable and they can have pain in their body because of that. And that's one of the first things that doctors will look at. Are they constipated? Are they having urinary urgency? And the reason that they have this constipation, as explained to me by my friend Cheryl Seifert, who was the president and CEO of the Rocky Mountain Parkinson's Association for the last 26 years and is now retiring, she said it's because the muscle shutdown and the inability for your muscles to work well in your body does not help your bowels push the waste through your body. So that's why they become constipated. So these are big issues. Changes in sleep patterns. They seemingly have a fever a lot. They have a lot of saliva in their mouth, reduced appetite. Those are the things that tip doctors off first. It's not the tremors. Sometimes the tremors come later, and oftentimes the tremors are caused due to the medication that they use to try to help your body move a little bit smoother. So a lot of those tremors and things like that happen because that person is taking some medication that is helping them. So again, maybe a little difference between Alzheimer's drugs and the different drugs for Parkinson's disease. We now know that there are some drugs that work well with people with Parkinson's. They are two completely different diseases. One is wrought with memory issues, and the drugs that they give those folks, the three drugs that come through the system, Namenda, Aricept, and Exelon, don't really slow the progression of the disease or anything like that. They open the blood flow to the brain, where these drugs help to produce, for Parkinson's people, levodopa especially, help replace the dopamine that is lost or damaged in the brain. So two completely different diseases. People don't really understand that all the time, but they really are. It's sort of like the difference between different cancers. You know, we know that brain cancer isn't the same as ovarian cancer. It's sort of the same thing. So when we come back, I want to talk a lot more on what the disease path looks like and how people with Parkinson's and their doctors team up to be more effective in living with this disease in a way I've never even seen before. I find it remarkable. I find it fascinating. I really like the direction they're going with our friends with Parkinson's. And I want to talk about that in depth when we come back and how we can really work towards having a team approach be our focus when we're living with this disease, because it's very difficult. And those drugs I mentioned, they don't work well with other drugs in your body. So you have to have a team approach, or that person could have serious symptoms and side effects with those drugs when they're taking them. So it can be a big deal. So glad to be talking about Parkinson's today. We're real sad about our friend Neil Diamond with this disease, but I'm going to try and clarify some things for my listeners today. We'll be right back.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, three well-balanced meals, and three healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back. And as I talked about in the first segment, we are talking about Parkinson's disease today. It is a type of dementia, but it does not necessarily come with memory loss. So these are things that I really like to stress and point out to people. Now, what I think is super cool and I have really enjoyed about the doctors and the movements disorders clinic out at University of Colorado Hospital is that they work better, I think, with their patients than I have ever seen on any disease that I know of right now, me personally. So what I mean by that is they ask people with Parkinson's to take a very active role in their life and how they're going to live with this. It is a disease that does not have a cure. I wish it did, but it is not fatal. Okay, so you can live with it for the rest of your life until you die naturally. What it does do is it affects your activities of daily living. So these folks basically have a strong mind and they're working with it, but their body is affected because of the dopamine attacking the motor skills in the brain, the lack of dopamine. So what happens is they ask the people with Parkinson's, especially at the Movement Disorders Clinic, they ask them to tell us what you do in your life. Are you a person that walks your dog? Are you a person that plays tennis? Do you dance a lot? Do you sing? Do you play with your grandkids? What do you do? And then they try to adjust the medications from the beginning, and there are three or four of them that they use, to help that person continue to be strong in what their activities of daily life are, okay? And they can basically, for a long, long time, years and years, dress themselves, feed themselves, all that kind of stuff. But what happens is it's critical that they keep track of what those medications are, and then they adjust them as the years go by, because those drugs don't work forever and ever, okay? And they can become part of the problem with the symptoms if you're on them too long. And then they might have to take you off of one and put you on another. And it gets really messy, so I'm not going to go into that too much today. But it's critical that the family caregiver has that is working with you, the wife, the son, the child, whatever, that they actually help you write down what the medication doses are and what the medications are right now. And then they share that with all the care providers. And there, I love how the Parkinson's Association tells people, listen, if you're going to your doctor and your doctor's not listening to you, go to somebody else. Make sure you have a neurologist. Make sure that you have a person that is a PT or an OT, and you have you might have a person that's working with you with speech therapy. So some of the symptoms that these folks see is they will have smaller writing. Their ability to write gets smaller and smaller. They don't use big circular motions and things like that. They may not have bigger arm movements. They start making their movements smaller. So they might need a PT or an OT to help them to stretch their arms out and do different exercises that make them more fluid and bigger. They try boxing and things like that so that they can move their arms and dance and so on and so forth. And they find that when they do these different activities, they lose they lose that want of having the smaller movements or being too recoiled up into themselves. They also use a speech therapist because they lose their ability to speak very well. You know, they get quieter and quieter because the muscles in their neck stop working and they can't make sounds quite as well. So these are very, very different activities and things that happen versus other types of dementia. So you also need to have a good communication with your pharmacist. Your pharmacist can tell you how the drugs are interacting with each other. And these are all teammates on your team. And you have to manage it. And you may have to have your loved one help you manage it. An occupational therapist can help you figure out how to have the lifestyle that you have work within your cognitive and physical abilities and try to get the most out of you that they can. So you need a PT. You need an OT. You need a general physician. You might need a doctor or a physician's assistant helping you, a speech therapist, your pharmacist, and then a personal advocate that's helping you make sure you keep all this straight. And then, of course, in the end, you're going to need to be able to have some good mental and spiritual help that helps you be able to have some mental wellness and all of that. All those kind of things can help you with the stress. And help you work with the approaches with your medications and the disease and all of that. So all of those kind of things really, really, really make a difference. And that's what I found so fascinating as I was reading multiple books over the last several months about this disease is how everybody works as a team. And you just really don't have those kinds of things when you get Alzheimer's. For the most part, you just are told, here, take some medication, go home, join a support group. with that support group, you want to make sure that if you go in and you're talking to somebody about your Parkinson's disease and you're working with other people and asking them their feelings, if that group is too sad, if they're not your age, if they're not into your activities, you might want to go make your own support group. Right? I mean, that could be something that you could do on your own. One size does not fit all here. And I read several places where people with Parkinson's, because of how active they are, they wanted to make sure that they had people that liked the same things they did. There are people that like to ride bicycles. There are people that like to play card games and join a bridge club. And so there's a real strong focus on that team network. There's a strong focus on making sure that people in your support group are people that have like things that you like and so forth. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the things you can do for exercise. We'll be back in just a minute.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay. So we've been talking about Parkinson's today, and oh my goodness, I forgot to have that little disclaimer in there. I use non-medicinal approaches. I am not a doctor. I am not a nurse. I am not a physical therapist or an OT. What I do is try to help families live as well as they can with resilience, overcoming obstacles and adversity to find a positive outcome. So the thing, again, that I found so surprising about working in this realm of Parkinson's disease, which we'll call PD because it's a long word, we now know and we understand that the whole plan from the minute a person gets diagnosed is to try to help them maintain their lifestyle and manage their symptoms so they can be as active as they can for a long time. And the drugs that they take and the different approaches that they give work just towards a positive lifestyle and having lots of moments of joy and not disrupting your world too much. Now, in a perfect world, that would be great, but this is a disease that really does affect people's motor skills. It affects them mentally. So we understand that with Parkinson's disease, PD, that these folks need to have some mind and body connection. You are a key component to how well your journey on this is going to go. So they know that people who exercise a lot, they're in the gym, they're walking, they're on treadmills, they're riding bicycles, all that kind of stuff really helps them. And if they can use slow movements like Tai Chi, different things like that, so they can use mental and slow stretching movements, yoga, things like that can really help with their reflection, of their muscle and memory movements mimicking each other, and how we really get sort of those the reactions of when you're moving, your body has those good constant movements and reactions. And other things you can do is music therapy, spiritual help with your local pastor or groups, you know, with your church. Controlled breathing. We're all about emotional well-being. And if your loved one will do that with you, that will make that caregiver journey so much better. But it's a hard disease. It affects you mind and body. And where any memory loss come in might come from some of the drugs that you take. So, as I said, PD doesn't necessarily have a situation where you have memory loss from the start, but some of those drugs do create side effects and symptoms of memory loss. And when that happens, we can get a great deal of depression. And that is not fun to have depression. So talk to your doctor about that. Have your loved one talk to your doctor about that. Respite for caregivers is key. Those are the things that we do have in common with these other dementias that we've talked about on the show, Lewy body and Alzheimer's. The caregivers taking care of themselves is a big deal. So a support group for everybody might be good. Classes and education to help you deal with this and live with it with moments of joy and resilience are all good, good things to have. So the emotional well-being is a big, big piece. And I want to just make sure that we understand that, especially with Parkinson's disease, if you get in the game and you start managing and let your doctor know if you've had any changes, if you're feeling some apathy, you just don't feel like you care about anything, if you're starting to get down and depressed, it could be more the medication than it could be your Parkinson's disease. You know, a lot of people have also asked about, what's this stem cell thing? You know, what are these alternative therapies? But the people out at the University of Colorado Hospital, they have looked into the stem cell. They have they do work with that, but that, they tell me, is a last ditch effort. If everything else that the person has tried, the mental well-being, the exercising, eating right, all of that plays a huge part into how fast this disease really takes over your body, and that you can play a part in maintaining it and staying healthy for quite a long time. So I think those are just really positive things. I really like that. One of the things that I pointed out to my husband today that I think is really amazing is that with the alternative therapies, the Parkinson's disease is a little bit better at telling their people, be careful of those alternative therapies. But I found in one of their mainstay books that they think is a great book to give to people, they say, if the treatment claims to be a cure for Parkinson's disease or makes any other outrageous claims, go a different direction. If the therapies, the alternative therapies, and the people that are putting them on don't work with your medical doctor and that team I was telling you about, let the Better Business Bureau know about them. There are some alternative therapies that they do think might work. Like, they do know that massage therapy really helps loosen the muscles and helps those folks feel relaxed that have Parkinson's. And they also think that acupuncture could play a good part in helping settle their body and their nervous system so that they can move more smoothly and freely. But don't bring anything at all into your realm of medications in the way of alternative therapies if you have not discussed it with that team that I talked about, your PT, your OT, your neurologist, your doctor, your physical therapy folks, because they can really, really make an effect on how those medications are working with you. And dietary supplements and herbal medications are kind of in the same realm. They're good, but the supplements are not regulated by the FDA or the NIH, National Institute of Health. So you have to be very careful when you're adding something to your routine. This disease changes over time. It's probably why our friend Neil Diamond said he was going to have to stop his tour. Probably hard for him to sing, hard for him to move about on stage. We wish him well. We wish him love in the rest of his journey. And we'll be thinking about him and praying for him. And for all you people out there with Parkinson's disease, know that I personally, and we here at Summit Resilience Training, think a lot about you. We care a lot about you. We hope that you can live well with this disease, and that you take the reins and really try to be in charge of your life and how it's going to go, and understand those medications change over time. So get that team together, stay on top of it, do the best you can to share that information with your family so they can be the second voice for you and make sure that you get all that information relayed, and just try to live a really good, positive life. I think that's the big message behind our friends with Parkinson's. Boy, they are in it to win it, and they want to stay strong, and their families want them to stay strong. And I just love having this show so I can talk about these different types of dementias and things like that and let people know there's no stigma behind them. You are great people. We love you, and we are here to help you at Summit Resilience Training. If you need anything at all, please give me a call at 303-420-6988. And you can also email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com. And always go on the Cruisin website if you want more information. You can absolutely get that there. Just look at the weekend programming and drop down to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, and you can find a lot of information on my website. So listen, everybody, have a great, great week. I'll see you next week with more information. We love you here on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more, and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.